From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. A Juneau healthcare worker yesterday had the nation's first reported case of a serious allergic reaction to the new COVID-19 vaccine from drug company Pfizer. The event heightens an existing focus on possible allergic reactions to the vaccine, but as Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media reports, officials say that such reactions are extremely rare and that vaccinations are continuing as planned.
For a few hours this morning, a middle-aged Juneau woman made national news as the first person in the country to have a serious allergic reaction to Pfizer's vaccine. It's fair to say this was a big deal, but before I go into the details, it's also important that you understand the bigger picture here, as Alaska's chief medical officer, Dr. Ann Zink, describes it.
There were over 40,000 people in the trial, and we did not see any reactions like this in those 40,000. And we also are seeing vaccine across the entire country, and both the FDA and CDC said this is the only case they know of currently in the United States that's like this.
Because there were two allergic reactions in British healthcare workers, though, providers were already on the lookout for signs of anaphylaxis. And the CDC specifically recommends that people being vaccinated be observed for at least 15 minutes. At a hastily organized news conference Wednesday, officials said the Juneau woman's reaction began 10 minutes after her injection at the city hospital Tuesday, where she and 100 others were among Alaska's first recipients of the vaccine. Even after being sent to the intensive care unit and kept overnight after showing signs of anaphylactic shock, her positive outlook was unshaken. Here's Noble Anderson, one of her doctors.
She was excited that she got the first dose and was disappointed that she will not be getting the second dose. And she encouraged all of us to press on.
Officials say the woman didn't have a history of allergies. The CDC is now working with hospital employees to analyze the woman's lab work to see what lessons can be drawn from her reaction. CDC officials at the news conference says the case was reported and handled exactly the way it was supposed to. Zink says the state is drawing its own lessons from what happened, but is continuing its vaccination efforts, and she adds that she has no qualms of her own about getting the shots.
I think we always need to respond to the data and information that's coming in. So, you know, we're making sure all clinicians, again, are just aware of this, making sure that they have epinephrine as a treatment available so that they're able to respond. But it in no way changes my personal decision or our program's plan to continue to administer vaccine overall.
The Pfizer vaccine continues to be rolled out across the state, with one community even receiving a float plane shipment Wednesday. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
Today's snowfall in Juneau is only the beginning. The National Weather Service says a second storm is headed for southeast Alaska that could dump a lot more snow. Forecaster Kimberly Vaughn says they expect a total of 5 inches of snow from the small system passing over Juneau today and tonight.
The one that we have going on here is just more of a garden variety type system that we would typically see in the wintertime in southeast Alaska.
But a second, much bigger winter storm is expected to drop 12 inches of snow tomorrow and as much as 18 inches on Friday. Vaughn says the system is bringing up a lot of precipitation from the southern Gulf of Alaska, similar to the atmospheric river that dumped record rainfall on parts of southeast earlier this month.
I guess you could say that it's similar. I mean, each system comes in with its own unique features and attributes, but certainly the temperatures are lower. We're still looking for the southern panhandle to stay all rain. In fact, we have a statement out for the southern panhandle because of the heavier rains expected.
Vaughn says Juneau drivers should prepare for hazardous road conditions and reduced visibility. She also urges people to check and clear snow loads on buildings, airplanes, and boats.
Because snow weighs a lot, so depending on how much accumulates on a vessel, that can definitely cause them to sink.
A winter storm watch will be in effect for Juneau starting tomorrow morning, but Vaughn says that could be upgraded to a stronger winter storm warning when they have a better idea about the storm's strength and impacts. Coastal Alaska lawmakers say they are unhappy with Governor Dunleavy's proposal to cut more than $2 million from the state's ferry system's operating budget. As Coastal Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the proposal will likely prolong the debate over the Alaska Marine Highway System's future during the legislative session that starts next month.
Governor Dunleavy proposes about $51 million to run state ferries. It's actually slightly more than he initially proposed last year, but it's much less than historically appropriated to the fleet. Lawmakers weren't comfortable with Dunleavy's budget last year. They added about 25% more to their budget to reduce service gaps, but the governor erased most of the extra funding with a stroke of his veto pen. Now he's proposing to run the ferries with $2.4 million less than he ultimately signed off on last year. He told reporters that he's looking for guidance from a task force he appointed that spent most of the year studying the Marine Highway and delivered its final report this fall.
We really believe that there needs to be a discussion with the Marine Highway Reshaping Committee, which I hope also takes place, and we'll be talking to legislature about that, because that committee worked on looking at ways to, again, make the ferry system sustainable for coastal Alaska.
He's had that report since the 1st of October, and to my knowledge, there's been no outreach to that reshaping group.
Kodiak Republican Representative Louise Stutes sat on the 9-member work group.
And there was no suggestions whatsoever in that report that that budget should be cut.
Stutes also co-chaired the House Transportation Committee during the last legislative session. She's a staunch defender of public investment on the Alaska Marine Highway and critical of the governor.
He says he's listening to Alaskans. Well, he apparently didn't hear the outcry of people in support of the Marine Highway system.
Funding for the Marine Highway will likely be contentious in Juneau this year. Rail Belt interests have long criticized the expense of running the fleet, while coastal residents argue it's critical infrastructure for communities with little or no road access. Ketchikan Independent Representative Dan Ortez co-chaired the House Finance Committee for the past 2 years. He says long service gaps are already a problem at current levels, and he calls the governor's ferry budget disappointing.
Was an indication to me that the Marine Highway continues not to be a priority for this particular governor, even though it's certainly an integral part of our transportation system infrastructure for all coastal Alaskans.
This year, the Department of Transportation reported a steep drop in fare revenue as fewer people traveled during the COVID-19 pandemic. DOT has been scheduling one mainliner at a time that leaves little to no slack in the system if a ship breaks down. That's led to months-long service gaps, planned and unplanned, as the fleet struggles to keep communities connected. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Juneau's first electric city bus arrived by barge today. The 40-foot bus should hit the streets by February. Capital Transit drivers and mechanics will receive training from California-based manufacturer Proterra. In the meantime, the city and borough of Juneau received a $1.5 million federal grant back in 2018 to buy the bus. Additional funding came from Alaska's share of a multi-billion dollar legal settlement from Volkswagen. And Capital Transit Administrative Assistant Denise Gahizio says more federal money will help gradually replace the city's diesel fleet.
It's pretty great that Juneau would get 4 years in a row grants for that. And a lot of that is the community writing letters of support and the Juneau City and Boroughs Juneau's commitment to renewable energy.
She says the city has been awarded a total of $9.5 million in state and federal grants so far. The Juneau Commission on Sustainability and Renewable Juneau both helped drum up support for the city's grant applications. The plan is to replace 7 diesel buses in the city's fleet with electric buses when they retire in 2022. Guizzo says they don't know yet how Juneau's cold, wet environment will impact the lifespan of the electric buses, but they shouldn't need to be replaced any sooner than diesel buses. The state's first electric school bus in the interior town of Tok passed an extreme cold weather test when it operated with no problems in 30 below weather in October of this year. Juneau's isn't the first electric city bus in the state, but it's the first one owned by a transit agency. Anchorage previously leased an electric bus from Proterra for a trial period in 2018. And in politics, Representative Lance Pruitt violated Alaska's campaign finance laws and should pay a penalty. That's according to staff for the state's elections watchdog agency, the Alaska Public Offices Commission. Commission staff issued a report yesterday. They found that Pruitt's campaigns failed to accurately report expenses both in 2016 and 2018. This is KTOO News.